On this episode of Wines to Find, Sandy and Michelle taste two sparkling wines, review the top listened episodes of 2021, and discuss the outlook of the 2021 vintage. Let's listen.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Sandy.
We're two sisters tasting and reviewing wine with the goal of taking the WTF out of
Wines to Find.
Welcome to episode 103 of Wines to Find. Our wines are both sparkling. They are a Dr. Heidemann Bergweiler Riesling Brut Sekt and a non-vintage champagne from Tattinger's. You guessed it, we are talking sparkling wines for New Year's Eve. In addition to sparkling wines, we're looking back on this past year's episodes and looking forward to 2022 and beyond with several harvest reports from different wineries regarding their 2021 harvest, Sandy.
That's right. We are excited to be able to share these wines with you and what we have successfully completed this year for our episodes and looking into the 2021 vintage.
Woohoo! We want to go right into that wine number one?
We do. Let's go ahead and do a toast.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know we have to. It's sparkling.
That's true.
Here we go.
So here's to an exciting 2022.
Woohoo.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to John. Silent clinks.
It tastes different than I thought it was going to. We had done a sect back on episode 68. And I remember it being a little sweeter than this.
This is Brut.
This
so
is Brut, yes. But it almost has like a little bitter bite at the back whenever I had this. And I wasn't anticipating that. A Sekt is a German sparkling wine. And this is a Riesling.
So we thought it would have a little bit more sweet to it. And that sparked a conversation between us before we started about which one should go first. And I felt like with sparkling that you almost do in reverse. I wanted the sweeter before I got the drier. So that's why we went that way. And it might not even be right, but that's what I wanted to do.
It has a very intense yellow color too.
It does. We skipped right over that because we clinked and then we had to drink. Yeah. But it does. And it's got good bubbles, but they're not as bubbly as I thought.
It has almost already stopped.
Yeah. And we poured it pretty quickly. And that was one of the comments was we need to get it drinking. So from John. because of the pouring and the bubbles, but it's a very calm sparkler. So if you're one that doesn't like, you don't like a lot of bubbles. So to me, this might be one that you might enjoy.
I'll wait till the rating for this, but, okay. But yes, if sometimes the bubbles are just too much for you. We've talked about this before on previous episodes. This would be good for somebody who doesn't like all that, the big bubbles.
The big
fizzy bubbles. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump right in and talk about 2021 before we start looking ahead to the future. So what we wanted to do was tell everybody what our top five episodes of the year were and the highest listened to episode.
Oh, you're going that way? You're not going to start at the bottom and then drum roll to number one?
I guess I can do that. Okay. So out of our most listened to episodes, number five came in as episode 74, Carpenter Wines. I believe the episode is Carpenter, something about boutique wineries, which we've really enjoyed meeting.
What episode number was that?
74.
74. Okay.
And discussing Carpenter's offerings, and we enjoyed it so much, we actually purchased us.
That's right. Whenever we join the wine club, then...
You know it's good. We get asked that a lot. Which wine clubs did you join or have you joined? And that was definitely one that we were like, we've got to have some more of that. So that was so great, and we did enjoy that one. So the next one was... episode 58, and that was just me and you. Well, no, that it was me and you and Franklin Liquors and Kim, where we talked the moving beyond the basics, where we talked about, we had kind of learned a lot of the 101 stuff and we wanted to go to the next level. And so we had a really geeky conversation about wine. Wonderful World of Wine podcast.
Yes, Wonderful World of Wine. And they are one of three podcasters that we ended up
collaborating with this year.
So we did Wonderful World of Wine for episode 58. We also did The Music in a Bottle, which was where we drank this Sekt, which was episode 68. And then we were interviewed on the road with Mr. California Wine Guy, mm-hmm. and that was very interesting too. So check out those other podcasters too.
Yep. All right. And then the third most listened to episode of Wines Defined was the Chankaska Winery. And that was the one that was super interesting. They're in Minnesota, and they talked about Minnesota having grants for developing agricultural ventures, including wine, and how they even have their
hybrid grapes.
Hybrid grape. Well, they have a specific grape that they created mm-hmm. there. It was a very interesting episode. Another geeky, not geeky, but a lot of wine details and a lot of, if you enjoy learning about the grapes themselves,
more
that was
of the
a great
viticulture
one.
Aspect, correct. Which is the very, growing. Which was very interesting. If you're a gardener or something, it just really, you know, piques that interest.
Mm-hmm. And the fourth highest episode, or I guess second highest.
Going, yeah.
I'm reading it at the fourth to be listed, but number two was the St. Stephen's organic vineyard one. And that one we enjoyed talking with them. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. They actually are Chilean wines.
And we had the winemaker on, and he was very interesting.
That was a great conversation we had. And then the most listened to episode of 2021 episodes was the Prothrow family wines.
Oh, Prothrow won out. I knew mm-hmm. they were inching up in the stats.
They were, and that was a great conversation. Now those folks, they're very similar to us. They were wine hobbyists who then loved wine so much that after they became empty nesters, they decided, you know what, we're doing this for real, and they private labeled wine, and then they actually they started creating their own and working. I believe they make it now.
They did before too. They made right. it back when they lived in California. Then they moved Garage to Texas, wine. And then they had stopped. And mm-hmm. then after they became empty nesters, they revisited and are back into winemaking.
Right. So that's always it lets you know there is a career after the kids can move out. Right. That is episode 65 of Wines Defined. Right. Well, so we've just poured wine number two.
And it is such a stark difference compared to the coloring and the bubble. Everything looks completely different.
It is completely different. And so this one is the Tattinger. It is what so when you're looking at champagnes, there's three houses, champagne houses in France that are super well known, and Tattinger's is one of those well known names. So we wanted to feature one of those definitely. And it's a little bit, it's not too expensive. It maybe is in the $50 to $70 range. So, you know, if you're looking for that, something special, this is a good one to try, depending on our review, maybe.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and look at the color. It's definitely paler.
Medium straw, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, being generous.
And it has nice bubbles.
The bubbles are just still bubbling up.
Still
very
going,
nice.
Still moving, and I can't really get a good scent of it. With the flute glass, you do lose that. And that's, so we'll, let's, do we want to do another toast, or we toast it? Okay, so what do we toasted 2022. Let's toast the good times in the past and looking forward to more in the future. Cheers.
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 I like it, but I like, sparkling wine a lot more than you do. It's definitely appley. And you get that, the nice yeastiness. She's going back for
well,
more, folks.
I feel like.
I want it in the other glass. So we have a flute glass, but we've poured the sect into our tasting glass, and I'm going to pour the Tattinger into that as well. So that I was going to talk about that. So we've had that debate about whether the proper glass for the proper drink, especially wine. And one thing that we learned this year is a lot of folks really actually say that you shouldn't pour into a flute. You should use the wider glasses because champagne needs the air as well. And look at the difference. In the flute, you really can't see the bubbles as much, but in the tasting glasses, it's like a bubble riot going on.
Well, I know, but these glasses are also crystal cut, so that makes a difference why you can't see it.
I went with the fancy glasses, and I was thinking to be fancy, but I wasn't thinking about being able to
see and
analyze
what's going on. Got it.
So there you go. Okay. So anyway, so looking forward, we did looking back, or do we want to continue looking back and talk about, we did want to talk about our favorite moments of the year.
Yeah. So you had one. Do that. I did. One of the things whenever we were sitting here talking about the different episodes, I kind of start to categorize episodes in my brain as far as we had talked about the podcasters that we collaborated with. That's one topic that we had hit. Another topic that we hit were great stories that we heard this past year. And my favorite story that I remember was from episode 56, the Water from Wine story. I thought that was very inspiring. Mm-hmm. So I loved that episode.
I very much enjoyed that one too. And I love when a company has a great story and a great mission, and they mm-hmm. definitely have that. Too much to go into.
Well, that's where they end up saving or taking money to help people that have water issues. They build wells mm-hmm. in South Africa, but how he came up with this idea, it's a whole thing. So just go listen. Yeah, just go listen to the episode. It's real. It is inspirational. Do you have a favorite?
So I do. Not story, but I really enjoyed the time when it's always fun when you can have an in person come and have somebody come and like sit down with us and we get to do face to face. And we've done that several times with Stephanie from Wonderment. That was 2020 though, and Michael Mercer was 2020. So 2021. We had in person Micah Caskey, who is one of our state house representatives, and we got connected with him from another state house representative that we know, and he came to talk to us about Gallo coming to town, mm-hmm. which is a very big deal for South Carolina, and it's a very big deal, I would think, for the wine industry because it shows the shift in how economics really does play a factor and how those decisions are being made. Because
it's more of the behind the scenes business look.
Nitty gritty. Yeah. But it was great to have him on and talk about it. And I geeked out a lot on those details. So that was, I enjoyed that a lot.
Then we also have those special little topics. We kind of ended up doing things that not necessarily focused on a grape or a technique. We ventured into cheese and wine pairings, was just recently done. And that was episode 98. And I thought that was exceptionally interesting because that's what other thing do you do but pair wine and cheese all the time? And to actually have a cheesemonger on the air with us telling us what to do was fun.
Oh, and that was the first time John has ever jumped in. Like this is episode 103. And this was the first time he took notes. And after it was over, he was like, I have questions. Then he went in and hit record and started asking his own questions. So that was great because, yeah, that definitely, it shows how much we're moving beyond the basics, which mm-hmm. we did that episode early on.
Well, then the next topic that kind of makes me think of things moving forward are the trends. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest trends that we have started to see are canned wines. Mm-hmm. And we had Archer Roos on episode 83, and I can really tell that they have canned some great wine that is, we had two canned wines, I almost forgot about Wine Society and Archer Roos, mm-hmm. and they both had great wines inside those cans, and it just tells you where the trend is moving forward,
well,
that it's not just I don't know,
fly by the seat of the pants or cheap wine going in. So mm-hmm. what you're seeing is with Gallo moving, you know, if you listen to the episode, you know that the economics behind
they're moving because of the glass bottles is one of the reasons.
Because of the heft of the bottles and shipping them across the country. And it's easier mm-hmm. to get the juice here and get it bottled in a place where the natural resources are closer and then to dispense it across the country and beyond in an area that is economically advantageous. So what you're seeing is that shift in the industry. And so canned wines is another way it's going. And a lot of winemakers aren't on board yet, but a lot of them are. And they're finding...
Well, for wines that are made to be
consumed early. Yeah, yeah. Plus, there is an environmental case to be made for it. There's a lot of benefits to it. So listen to those episodes because I do think that's a trend that's here to stay.
Yeah. And since we are talking about moving forward, what's the hubbub going on about vintage 2021? I think we've got a couple, we reached out to a couple of our winemaker friends. And what did you hear from our first one, Jeff?
So Jeff, I talked to him throughout, and honestly, I'll tell you guys what I did. I didn't ask anybody. I tried to keep, you know, and we talked to folks a lot, but what I didn't want to jinx anything, and things seemed to be going okay. But we heard about the drought conditions that started out really early spring, and that was such a concern throughout the growing season, not just because of the grapes, but because of the wildfires. So Jeff says, as you know, the concern of fires was always on our minds. Due to the drought conditions, he found lower yields in some of the vineyards, and others just more concentrated fruit. He had one vineyard that yielded large clusters or normal to smaller size berries. He said fermentation after they got it out of the fields, and they didn't have that rush. So what ended up happening is it was dry, and then it was dry, and then it was even drier, but they were able to harvest without a rush because there weren't the fires beating down on them that there have been in the past years. But so he says fermentation was normal, good acidity and verve, and he's looking forward to following the development in the barrel.
And this is Jeff Cohn, who just moved to Hillsburg, correct?
Well, he moved his tasting room to Hillsburg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And then we appreciate Jeff's thoughts on that, or particularly for the Sonoma area. Then we have Matthews Winery, who is from the Washington State. And we have not had them on the episode. So we're really thankful that they went ahead and provided us this information. I'm going to read to you what they said. They said that the thought going into 2021 was that the vineyards were going to rebound from such a light and concentrated harvest in 2020, and that our vineyards were going to produce slightly more fruit and less concentration. But the opposite happened. We noticed that our yields were down another 5 to 10% from 2020, which led to an even more flavor concentration, color, and very high quality wines. Outside of a June heat spike, the ripening was even throughout the fall, which allows us the flexibility to pick when we were at optimal ripeness without the pressure of an early fall freeze. We are very impressed with our quality of wine in 2021.
So it sounds like low yields were consistent there in California and Washington. So our next summary comes from the Laird family, and they're one of the largest growers in California. Mm-hmm. And their winemaker, Brian Mox, also had drought concerns. His quote is, "Drought conditions leading into the 2021 growing season caused a lot of concerns about how the vines would fare this year. It wasn't a surprise when we saw smaller canopies and smaller clusters on the vine. This did seem to help the vines get through the season without excessive stress, and a couple early season heat spikes may have helped acclimate the vines to the more stressful months of August, September, and October. Although the vines did look more stressed early on in the season, they did seem to hang on better than expected. Weather leading into harvest was pretty ideal, and picking proceeded at a consistent pace. Cabernet Sauvignon harvest, which is the last grape, wrapped up a few days before an intense atmospheric river system drenched the north coast with much-needed rain. The drier growing season led to berry sizes that were smaller than average, enhancing fruit intensity and palate concentration in the wines. Here's where it gets good. The quality of the wines is outstanding, and 2021 looks like an exceptional vintage across the board." So thank goodness for that.
So cheers to an overall good-looking 2021 harvest that we have heard from so far.
Great report from them, hearing that, and we were on tooth and nails. And like I said, we weren't asking. We were like, let's don't jinx it. There was that early issue in France, and we need to check with Paul.
No, we have not checked in France. So yep. This was just the domestic side.
Yeah. So, but what we'll do is we'll reach out to our contacts overseas and see how they fared with that early frost.
Because they were thinking they were going to lose the majority of this vintage.
Well, they lost a good part of it, I think. But I think we'll talk with Paul and we'll report back. But anyway, so looking forward to 2022, we sure do hope that the growers have a much better early season than they did, and it continues on straight through harvest with no issues.
All right. Are we ready to rate?
I think so. We want to go with wine number one first, which is the Dr. Heidemann's Bergweiler. I had to look at it. Bergweiler. It's a Riesling Brut Sekt. And again, it was interesting when we learned that you know, everywhere they grow, if it's not Champagne, it's got some other name. In France, it's Cremant generally. In Spain,
Italy,
you've got Cava.
Oh, Cava. Then Italy, you have Prosecco.
And then we did learn this year about Sekt, which we didn't know about. So that was great to know that Sekt is what you're looking for when you're looking for a German sparkling. And what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm giving it a 3.
Okay.
I actually enjoyed, and I don't recall the producer of the Sekt that we had previously compared to this one. This one, the bubbles, they fizz out. It's just not, when I want a sparkling, I don't want a still wine 2 minutes later. It could just be bottle variation. You never know, but the flavor profile is not to my palate.
So I find it all the sparklers get a little leg up from me because I really enjoy them. I like this one a lot. I would say it's a 3.8, maybe even a 4. And what I like about it is it's juicy. And a lot of times even though this is a brute, it's got a lot of, because it's Riesling based, it still has some sweet to it. And I enjoy that. And it does it doesn't have that big overwhelming fizz like we talked about. So sometimes that's too much. So I like the fact that it's a little bit more mild in terms of the bubbles. I enjoy it. I think it has a great flavor too.
I just had another sip and there are still bubbles in there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's why I went to the larger glass. I think that does help. I ditched the flute. All right. And how about the Tattinger?
I like the flavor profile better, but I still don't see myself going and buying a bottle. I have to give it a 3.
I'm going to give this one a 4. Maybe I'm going to give it a 4.5 actually.
Really?
Yes. Because it's got the fine bubbles and they linger. The tingle lingers on your tongue. The flavor profile.
Well, I didn't. Now, you have to back up. That is true. All that about the tingling and it acts exactly the way it's supposed to act. Mm-hmm. This is for me because this is not, we're not basing quality. That's not what we're doing now.
No. But I enjoy a sparkling wine. So I like that the taste lingers there, or that the fizz lingers on your tongue. It dances on your tongue, but also you get apple, you get some nuttiness, you get that bready brioche flavor. There's a lot of flavor. And a lot of times all you get is the sparkle or the fizz in your nose, and then the flavor goes away and it's gone. And this just has a lot of flavor lingering. So if you're going to go and you want to spend some money, you know, because, and we talked about that, we've done several episodes on sparklers, and basically your buy-in for a true champagne is going to be $40. That's your base. So this is really only $10 or $15 more than that for a non-vintage Tattinger. It's one of the better known ones. And it to me, that extra $15 is 100% worth it. 4.5.
Ooh, you like it.
I like it.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, a little preview into 2022. We're looking forward to the good things to come. And we hope that if you did enjoy this episode, you would share it with a friend. And we hope that you'll join us next time on
Wines to Find.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Wines to Find. For today's show notes, visit us at www.pickagrapewine.com. Follow us on social media for bonus and live content. Instagram at Wines to Find Podcast, Facebook at Wines to Find, and Twitter at Wines to Find. And don't forget to join us next time on Wines to Find.